You're listening to Source Daily. Richland Source city editor Carl Hunnell began his journalism career 43 years ago. His new 10-part series features Congressional Medal of Honor recipients from Richland County. The series is supported by Mansfield Cemetery Association. Today, Carl and Richland Source managing editor Larry Phillips will dive into the story of John Rowalt.
Hi, this is Larry Phillips, managing editor at Richland Source, and I'm joined by Carl Hunnell, our city editor and author of the 10-part series on Richland County's Congressional Medal of Honor winners. And today we're up to Private John Rowalt, and he is the first of our Congressional Medal of Honor winners whose medal was bestowed after the Civil War. His came on October 14th, 1869, and he was involved in the Indian campaigns.
Yeah, John Rowalt, he was actually born in Belleville, and I will tell you, when I researched this series, it was relatively easy to find good information on Civil War battles. Lots of websites, lots of photos, lots of YouTube videos. Not so much when you start to look at the Indian campaigns that came after the Civil War had ended. John Rowalt was a member of Company L of the 8th U.S. Cavalry. Was assigned to Lynx Creek in the Arizona Territories, a 19-year-old private. And in October of 1869, he was fighting in battles nearly 2,000 miles from his birthplace in Belleville. He enlisted in 1868 in Cincinnati. And as I said, battle records in these so-called Indian campaigns were not meticulously kept or maintained. There's just not as much information. But in a fight on October 14th in Lynx Creek, likely during the Apache Wars, he distinguished himself, earning the Medal of Honor. And this one of those, the citation just says, quote, "gallantry in action with Indians."
Not a lot of detail to that.
Nah, so it's like, okay, what else can we find out about this? Now, so I did some work. How did we end up having a conflict in Lynx Creek? And it's like many things involving disputes, money, was at the root of it. They discovered gold in Lynx Creek in May of 1863. That led to a lot of conflicts between miners and their families and Native Americans in the area. In fact, Lynx Creek became known as the most productive gold-bearing stream in Arizona. In 1865, the first permanent settlers arrived in the area. I found a paper called A Short History of Camp Verde, Arizona, to 1890. It was written by a historian named Lloyd Pearson. And I looked up records involving Company L, the one that Rowalt served in. And according to the battle that day, Company L, quote, "pursued a band of Indians, pressing them so close as to cause them to abandon all their camp equipment," end quote, which was later destroyed. It must have been a very fierce battle. Two other privates in Company L, a David Goodman from Massachusetts and John Rarick from Cincinnati, they also got Medal of Honors for their bravery in that particular day. It looks like the battle was about 95 miles outside of what is today's Phoenix. It was typical of the action that Rowalt saw in his 5 years in the cavalry. One of the interesting thing is when you think about the Indian campaigns, which went on for years, because this was an issue as the U.S. continued to expand west with settlers and miners and family members, they kept running into Native Americans who had lived there for generations.
Centuries. Yeah,
and it was a conflict. And quite honestly, the federal government made a lot of deals, made a lot of promises to the Native Americans that they didn't keep as more and more people kept pouring in. Arizona ranked highest among states having conflicts with Indians in the states that border Mexico. There were 310 known battles fought within that state's boundaries between Americans and Native Americans. The Apache Wars were conflicts that occurred between 1861 and 1886 in Arizona and New Mexico. One of the famous Native American leaders was Cochise. He was an Apache chief. He led many of these battles against the U.S. Army alongside his father-in-law, who was captured in 63 and was later executed. I mean, it was a brutal time. Like I said, settling the old West, as they like to say, wasn't neat. It wasn't clean. And most of the time, from the Native American standpoint, it certainly was not fair.
You know, when I read this story, Carl, and you mentioned that Rowalt was 19 when he joined the service, which means he was born in 1850. It makes you wonder why would you join the military? You would think everybody would be a little bit war weary after the Civil War. And I really flashed to Dances with Wolves and Kevin Costner on a Western outpost when I read this story. Obviously, Rowalt was not in command of anything, but it's just an interesting scenario that he was born here in Ohio, yet decided to join the military, ended up out west, and then is thrust into like you said, a conflict with the Native Americans.
Yeah, I don't know what prompted Rowalt to join. Now, he did join 3 years after the Civil War had ended, which means in his middle teen years, that war was going on.
Right.
So he certainly was aware.
Too young to join then, yeah.
Too young, and like a lot of young soldiers, probably had fanciful notions of serving in the military and what that would be like, and maybe he had family or friends that served in the Civil War and told stories, and as a young man maybe he said, I need to jump in and be a part of that. After the war, he was ultimately discharged on May 11th, 1873, so he served a total of about 5 years. He was discharged at Fort Union, New Mexico. He returned to Ohio, and it looks like he lived in Cincinnati. Looks like he was living with his brother. Sadly, he died on November 7th, 1875. He was just 25 years old.
Wow.
I could not find a cause of death in any of my research, but I did find that cholera was very rampant in Cincinnati at that time, so that's certainly
possibility.
To die at such a young age, certainly something like that could have come into be.
Yeah.
And if you died of something like that at the time, probably most of your belongings, they're going to burn them. They're going to get rid of them.
Right.
It looks like, and he's buried in the Highland Cemetery in Fort Mitchell, Kentucky, just a few miles south of Cincinnati, and it looks like it's an unmarked grave.
Oh wow.
Which I'm been working on that story, and I think we'll do it at the end of the series. It's tragic to me that a soldier from Richland County, Ohio, wins the Congressional Medal of Honor in service of his country, and to be buried in an unmarked grave in northern Kentucky. I mean, that's something that I've been talking to local County Commissioner Daryl Banks, been talking to Pam out at the Mansfield Cemetery, going to talk to some veteran group leaders. There ought to be something we can do to help honor him a little bit better than that.
Carl, do they know the location of his body? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when you go, I've talked to the folks at the cemetery there. They confirm, yeah, that's John Rowalt. But the interesting thing is he's buried there, and everything matches up, his age, his birthplace. But I guess there's nothing to say specifically, this is John Rowalt who earned the Congressional Medal of Honor.
I see.
Because a lot of that stuff probably got destroyed at the time of his death, and I don't know about family members or anything, but we got to figure out a way. I'm 99.9% sure that's him.
Yeah.
That's his burial site, and we got to do a better way to honor him for his service to his country.
Well, knowing the veterans in this community, that's something they could rally around and probably will. And I don't imagine that we're done reporting on John Rowalt.
No, not the John Rowalt from Belleville, Ohio, who fought in the Indian campaigns and earned his nation's highest military honor.
Well, that's John's story, and I'm sure there's going to be more to be told about that. We'll be back again tomorrow with our next look at a Richland County Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure and read our stories on richlandsource.com. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to richlandsource.com and click the Be a Member button to help support independent local journalism that informs and inspires. Every contribution goes to helping us make Richland County a better place and to help keep our journalism free. Also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.